Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 4, actually beginning with the 13th verse of chapter 3, and reading through verse 1 of chapter 4. Page 997 in your Scofield Bible, Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, and then the first verse also of chapter 4, which is the text verse. We'll read these verses responsively. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, please. Once again, reading responsively, verses 13 through 17 of chapter 3 and verse 1 of chapter 4. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so for now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And let's pray. And Father, what a wonderful book you've given us. Thank you for the Bible. What a wonderful church you've given us. We thank thee for this great bastion of the faith here for 100 years now. We thank you for our preacher here for more than a quarter of a century. God bless, we pray now, and help us as we once again open your word, speak plainly to us. Help us to plainly hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
First, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I want to speak this morning on the subject, led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted of the devil. Before I pray and bring the message, I want to remind you what the word tempted means. The word tempted in the Bible is a much bigger word than we think of it as being. We think of temptation. Somebody who has temptation to take a drink or go to the wrong place or read the wrong magazines and so forth. Tempted to sin, but that's not all. That's a part of it, but that's not all. The word temptation in the Bible is a word that is all-inclusive. It includes testing. It includes heartache. It includes sorrow. It includes burdens. It includes problems. It includes bereavements. The word testing would be, in our language, probably as near as we could find for that word. Our Lord was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted of the devil. Our Heavenly Father, bless this morning our message to the hearts of thy people. May we listen attentively to thy man who gives what he believes has been ordained for his people to receive this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. What a startling verse. Led by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. Are you listening? Led by the Spirit to be tested. Are you listening to me? Led by the Holy Spirit to have heartache. Led by the Holy Spirit to have sorrow. Led by the Holy Spirit to have burden. Led by the Holy Spirit to have bereavement. Let me quickly say this. It just doesn't sound like God to lead somebody to trouble, to lead somebody to heartache, to lead somebody to suffering, to lead somebody to bereavement. But I want to say this before we go further. God does not tempt. It does not say here that that Jesus was led of the Holy Spirit to be tempted by God. The Bible says God tempts no one. God tests no one. But it does say here that God leads, or led Jesus, the Holy Spirit led Jesus to be tested, have heartache, to have sorrow, to have burden, to have bereavement, to have sadness, to have problems. Now, God does the same thing to you. There's one thing we all have in common this morning, and that is we all have burdens. Those burdens may be self-inflicted, or they may be inflicted by someone else. But there's one thing, and by the way, we ought to have the same compassion for those who self-inflict as those who are inflicted by somebody else. Hurts just as much. I mean, if you cause your own hurt, it hurts as much as somebody else causes your hurt. In fact, it may hurt more because you have the conscience that you caused it. And because of that, we ought to be just as compassionate and as empathizing and sympathizing with those whose burdens and problems are self-inflicted and self-caused as those who are not inflicted by themselves. But Jesus, our God's Holy Spirit, leads us into temptation. That means the trouble you have this morning, you may have been led by the Spirit of God to have it. Now, God didn't give it to you. God led you to have it. He was led of the Spirit to the devil, to be tempted by the devil. It means that the testing you have this morning, though God did not give you the testing, God's Spirit may have led you to the place where you're being tested. It may be that burden you carry this morning that you cannot lift alone, and you wonder how you can make it through the day. It just may be that the Holy Spirit led you to that burden. It may be He led you to that problem. Now, there's one thing about it, and I want to make this very plain. I'd rather be led by the Spirit into problems than go alone into prosperity. I mean, the important thing is led by the Spirit. And one of the blessed things about this passage is, if He leads me there, He's there when I get there. He's ahead of me. And I'm saying again, He says, oh, I don't know how I can take these burdens. If you're led by the Spirit to take those burdens, you're better off than a fellow that has no burdens, not led by the Spirit. I'd rather be me this morning than the National Football League players. I don't make $230,000 a year. I only make $150,000 a year. Don't believe that if you're visiting. Don't believe that this morning. But, I mean, I had rather be led by the Spirit into poverty than led and not led by the Spirit into riches. I'd rather be led by the Spirit into illness than not be led by the Spirit into health. I'd rather be led by the Spirit into burdens than not be led by the Spirit into an area where there are no burdens. I'd rather the Holy Spirit lead me to heartache than go alone without the heartache. And one reason I thank God this morning for burdens is because God leads me there. He's with me. I'd rather be with Him in a tight than not with Him and not in a tight. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. It is heaven to me, where'er I may be, if He is there. I count it a privilege here, His cross to bear. For if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Now the question comes, if God leads me to testing, if God leads me to sorrow, if God leads me to heartache, if God leads me to burden, why? Why? Why does God want to lead me to burden? Now, I don't know the entire answer to that question, but I can give you the answer to why Jesus was led in by the devil or by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. I can give you the answer to that. I do not know why. All the reasons why you and I are led of the Spirit to be tested by the devil. but I know why Jesus was. And I want to give it to you just real quickly. I read this verse. For we must not have an high priest, that's Jesus, which cannot be touched with the healing of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, there it is, tempted or tested like as we are, yet without sin. Now I want to show you something this morning that I think is one of the most important blessed truths in all the Bible. You see, the devil, Jesus, was led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. And he was tempted, but he did not resist, or did not yield to the temptation, resisted. And the victory was his. Now, why was it necessary that the Holy Spirit lead Jesus to be tempted by the devil? I'll tell you why. Because the weapons that our Savior used in resisting that temptation are the same weapons that are available to us when we have temptation. You have a burden. Jesus came back and he said, the devil said, I want you to do this. Jesus said, you won't get me, Buster. It's written. And he had the Bible. I've got a Bible too. I've got the same thing Jesus used to get rid of the devil. Now, why then was he tempted? I'll tell you why he was tempted. He was tempted in order to show you and me that the devil is already defeated. I want you to hear me carefully. I said, the devil is already defeated. I said, thank God the booger man is doomed. I mean, he's licked. He's defeated. Well, you say, then why the struggle? Let me illustrate. Every year we have vacation Bible school. One year, I fought the devil. Had a ring up here. This year, somebody else did. Because the devil was no match for me. But one year, I fought the devil. And had boxing gloves. Had a ring up here, and I had boxing gloves on. And the devil and I came out. We had a fight. And the kids, they went wild. And, boy, I struggled. In fact, I ended up with a knee that was bad. I had to have a cortisone shot later on because my knee was so bad. I fought the devil. And I had to struggle. Now, look, the kids went wild, as they always do. Get him! Get him! Come on! Was it Pee-wee fought the devil this year? Pee-wee. And the kids, get him! Get him! Now, look, every kid in that room knew I was going to win that fight. And yet, you'd have thought it was life or death. And it was at my age. But you'd have thought it was life or death. Get him! Get him! And the devil knocked me down. And the kid said, get up, brother! Get up! Get up! Get up from the house! Get up! But every kid there knew who was going to win. But it was planned that there would be a struggle in effort for the kids to enjoy the vacation Bible school. And I had a struggle. He knocked me down 3 or 4 times. Before I finally knocked him down for good. While I was down, they brought me orange juice. That helped me a little while, but I got knocked down again. Then they brought me some honey. I took some honey, and that helped me a while. Then I got knocked down again. Then they brought me, what else did they bring me? Vitamins, yeah, vitamins. And I took some vitamins. That helped me a while, but I got knocked down again. And I said, I've got to have help. And all of a sudden, somebody came running down the aisle with the Word of God. I mean, an old Revised Standard, King James Version of the Bible. Just want to know if you're listening. And brought the old Word of God down. And then I just took the Word of God and opened it up and feasted on the Word of God and knocked the devil cold. Now, everybody knew everything I was going to win. Everybody knew the devil was going to lose and I was going to win. But they still had to have the struggle, and it still took the Word of God. And bless God, this is the victory over the devil. Jesus was led of the Spirit with the Word of God, and that's the answer to any battle you've got. You've been led of the Spirit with the Word of God, and you're going to make it. I don't care what your burden is. The Spirit plus the book is the victory. I don't care what your problem is. The Spirit plus the book is the solution. I don't care what your question is. The Spirit plus the book is the answer. I mean, the devil has already been defeated, and Jesus was led of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted
of the devil to show us that the devil is defeated, and we're fighting a defeated enemy, and we're struggling for a victory which is already won. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world, and the devil is the defeated enemy, and the victory is to Jesus and his people.
But now, we wouldn't have known that if Jesus hadn't been tempted of him.
And so, that's why he went to the wilderness. That's why he was led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. To show us that in any, I'll say this often here, in any given instance, the Christian can have the victory. I do not believe that a Christian can live above sin, but I do believe that victory over a sin is possible in any given instance. And if we would always use that which is available to defeat, with which to defeat the devil, we can have victory every time. But now, being flesh, we're going to forget to use the Bible sometime, and occasionally we're going to forget to follow the Holy Spirit. We're going to fight in our own flesh, and we're going to win. But we're going to lose. But thank God, the devil's defeated. That's what 1 Corinthians 10:13 means. There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Everybody has the same temptation you have. Over the house, I have a strong desire about this particular sin. So does everybody else. I'm a little tired of people hiding their immorality behind "I'm over sex." Hogwash and poppycock. Boy, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. You have the victory. Why? Greater is he in us than he who's in the world. Jesus was led of the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil to show us that the devil is already defeated. But he goes on to say, he will not suffer you to be tempted above you, Abel, but will also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now listen to me, folks. I don't know how heavy your burden is today, but you're able to bear it, God said. I don't know how difficult your problem is today, but you are able to bear it, God said. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, and with also with the temptation, make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. I just can't face tomorrow. Oh, yes, you can face tomorrow because you are able to bear it. I can't face the future. Oh, you can face the future because you are able to bear it. Now, you may not choose that which helps you bear it and the Holy Spirit that needs you, but every burden you have is bearable. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to minimize your burden. I'm not trying to minimize your problem. I'm not trying to minimize your heartache. But I am saying you don't ever have to crumble or under any load because you are able to bear it. You don't have to crumble under any burden because you are able to bear it. You don't have to crumble under any problem because you are able to bear it. That's why Jesus was led of the Spirit to the wilderness to the tempt the devil, was to show you that any Christian, if he uses God's available weapons, can bear anything that's placed on him. I sympathize with you, but not with your defeatism. I sympathize with your problem, but not your defeatism. I sympathize with the burden you bear, the sorrow you have, and God knows I do, but not with the person who's defeated, because you're not defeated, brother. The victory has been won. And Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil to say, look at here, folks, this is the way you can have the victory. Even our faith, the Bible says. That means the struggle's mine, outcome's his. Now, wait a minute. He did not go there to keep you from the struggle, and you've got to struggle as much as if you were having to do it by yourself. God does not deliver you from the struggle. He wants you to have the struggle. He promises you the victory if you struggle. Jesus didn't go to be tested of the devil to keep you from having a burden. He went with his burden to show you how you could have victory in your burden. He leads us there. Let me say this. If He leads us there, He will protect us there. But He will not protect us from the struggle. It is important that we have the struggle. We've got to have the struggle. Four reasons. One reason, we've got to have the struggle because if there is no struggle, there is no joy of victory. That's one reason why I refuse to be wealthy. I want the joy of victory. I want the joy of getting my prayers answered. I want the joy of needs. And God comes along. And did you ever stop and think that the human species is the only species that God made that has to struggle like we do? A little calf is born this morning. It's running for this afternoon. But how about a human being? Good night. Our grandson, Kenny, was 4 before he walked. He's smart. I guess he was, 18 months? 16? And thought never was going to walk. But look, you know what every kid and parents are the same way. Every time a kid takes his first few steps, it's like it's the first kid that's ever walked in the history of mankind. Come on, say, boy. Look like one of the bass section coming in on Saturday night. I mean, and we say, yay! Yay! Hey, look at that! Let's all give him a hand! Yay! And he goes, and falls down. But look, that's what's the fun of it. Why, good night. You ladies, thank God you didn't have a calf. You wouldn't have enjoyed it near as much. I mean, you all have it. But anyway, you should. I mean, God looked down and God said, I love my people. And I want my people to have joy. A little calf doesn't, listen, you ever saw a cow, go moo, moo. That little calf takes his first step. Why? It's no struggle. And God looks down and says, I want my people to have the victory, but there's no victory unless there's struggle. And so thank God today for struggles because I thank God I love to have a victory. And that's what God has done for us. God has said the victory is yours, but you've got to struggle to get it. Why? Because I want you to enjoy it. Another reason why the struggle, and that is because we're co-laborers with God. I can do all things through Christ. Not Christ can do all things for me, though He could, but He hasn't chosen to. I can do all things through Christ. Why? Because when I struggle, even though I know the victory is going to come, and God has promised me the victory, and the devil is defeated, I'd love to say that 10,000 times for you today. The devil is defeated. I said the devil is defeated. I said the devil is defeated. And you don't have to lose. You have the victory. The victory's been won. You have the weapons the devil cannot resist. But thank God, He makes me struggle too. Because I then become a co-laborer with God. And though the victory is His, the victory means more to me. Look, you young ladies who are going through college, your husband's going through college and you're having to struggle. You walk across this platform in 15, 20 years to get his degree. And when you do, as you walk up those steps, you're going to think about some things. And you're going to say, thank God for the lonely nights. Thank God for the hunger. Thank God for the tough times. Thank God for the sacrifice. Why? Because we made it. Now, we knew he was going to graduate. We didn't know when, but we knew he was. But those of you that have had to struggle together, and that's one reason why I love God so much. We've had to struggle together all through these years. Thank God! He gave me a part in it too. So when the diploma's passed out,
I can get one too. There's a third reason why, though the victory is ours, we have to struggle to get it. And that is because it makes us strong. That's the way you become strong. The struggle makes you strong. God wants strong Christians, and God wants strong preachers, and God wants strong husbands, and God wants strong wives, and God wants strong teenagers, and God says, the victory is yours. The devil's defeated. But Lord, if the devil's defeated, why have I got to fight so much and cry so much and fret so much and worry so much? Why? He said, because it makes you stronger when you do that. And then the fourth reason is God sometimes wants to test me. He wants to find out what I'm made of. That's what basic training is all about in the Army. Man, they put me through hell. I mean that. Hell, all but the fire. When I was in paratroop training. Why were those fellows so rough? Why were those sergeants so mean? Why? I'll tell you why. There's a war going on out there, and I've got to go out and face the war one of these days, and they're trying to make me tough enough to fight the battle. And that's what God does. God knew back yonder years ago that Dr. Jack Hiles was going to pastor this church. And God knew that probably 10,000 preachers across this nation had called me their pastor. And God knew that somebody needed to grab the old steering wheel of fundamentalism and at least to help to do it and try to steer it so it won't get back in some of this little penny-ante, second-rate new evangelicalism with a Bible that's not real and a hell that hadn't fire and a heaven that has no golden streets and a sin that's not black. And God knew in this age somebody would have to grab the steering wheel and hold it firm while others are turning and others are changing and others are pussyfooting. And God said, I've got to make him strong enough to take care of it someday. I'll put him through the fire and make him struggle. But the victory was never in doubt. The victory was never in doubt. But the struggle was necessary. You say, Brother Hiles, how do you take it through the struggle? I'll tell you what you do. You plead for his help and do it. I've said this so often. How do you do it? You do it. How do you take it? You take it. How do you bear it? You bear it. How do you face it? You face it. And then plead for his help. Let me say this morning. I know I have the victory. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about little piddling personal battles. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about I have the victory over the devil and over sin and over temptation. Doesn't mean I'll never sin again, but it means I have the victory, and the devil's got his tombstone already erected, and his name is on it, and hell is being prepared for him, and the thermostat's being turned way high for the devil. He is going to lose. And I know it. But I've still got to struggle, because my struggle's a part of the victory. Jesus doesn't say you've got the victory if you lay down and go to sleep. He says, you've got the victory if you keep on going and follow my spirit and use my word. But that means I still need him. I've never, in all of my life, felt a need of his help and strength as I feel it today. I thought when I was a younger preacher, when you got older, you'd get experienced enough. And you'd know the work well enough where you wouldn't have to always be crying for his help. But I need him. God knows I need him. And I spend hours a week alone with him, saying, oh, God, I can't do this by myself. I don't know how.
I've got this. I stand up here on Sunday morning sometimes after the closing prayer while we're waiting to baptize again, and I watch the crowd leave, and I think, my soul, how could any one man pastor that many people? How could any one man preach to that many people? How could any one man feed that many people? And I go out in the woods, and I say, oh, God, I've got to have your help. I'm not an educator, but I've got to operate at a college, and I'm not a great preacher, but I've got to operate a church, and I don't know anything about Christian education, but I've got the schools to operate, and I've got, I'm not a wise man by nature, and I've got to counsel, and I've got all this to do. I'm not a financier, but I've got to raise $15 million a year, and oh God, I can't do it. I can't do it by myself. I gotta have help. I need you. I've got to have you. I got to have you. And the struggle goes on. But hallelujah, I always know the devil's licked. The devil's licked. So this morning, face it. Face it. How can I face tomorrow? Face it. Let me tell you how to face it. Are you listening to me? You face it by walking in His Spirit and living in His Word. And the victory's yours. The victory's yours. Did you hear what I said this morning? Did you hear what I said? I said probably that the Holy Spirit led you to your burden. You know what I said? I said probably the Holy Spirit led you to your heartache. Did you hear what I said? I said probably that thing that is crushing you beyond bear, being able to bear today, probably the Holy Spirit led you to that. Why did it lead you to that? So you could have a part in the victory. And so you could be strong to be used of Him and to prove you and to test you. In 1960, I think it was, the jet planes came out for the first time. I'll never forget when I got on that Delta jet plane flight Atlanta, Georgia. Flight number 6. I can still remember it. Flight number 6. One of the funniest things happened. The pilot came on the intercom. He said, ladies and gentlemen, he said, there's nothing to fear. We were back there all trembling. We couldn't even see one of those electric fans out there outside the thing going around and around. No propeller. We're all back there trembling, everybody's scared. First jet flight we'd ever taken. He said, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing to fear. He said, these planes have been built, designed by the finest engineers in the world. They've been built by the finest craftsmen in the world. This is the safest thing you'll ever be in your life for transportation. So just lean back and relax and enjoy the flight. Nothing can go wrong. Then he forgot to turn off the intercom. We heard the next words. He said to the co-pilot, he said, hey, Joe, let's see if we can get this old blankety-blank off the ground. And then he realized what he had done. He didn't say blankety-blank. He said something else. And then he realized what he had done. And he said, folks, we were just joking up here in the cockpit. He said, the truth is, he said, many, many times already, test pilots have taken this very plane into the sky. It's safe for you because they have tested it. And that's why Jesus was led of the Spirit to be tested. So He could say to us as we take off our flight toward burdens, heartaches, and sin, He could say, rest at ease. It's done been tested. It's been tested. And the engine is in good shape. Because He that is in you is greater than he who is in the world. All I've said this morning is to say this. Look at your burden and face it. Don't run from it. Don't turn back. Don't quit. Don't give up. Face it. Face it.
You see, I just can't see from the house. I think good's going to come.
You may not be able to see it, but the victory's already won. The devil has been defeated. Bless God. The devil has been defeated. Father, I'm going to quit. Reach down this morning and take that one whose heart hurts the most. And help him to realize the struggle is necessary, but there's nothing to worry about as far as the outcome is concerned. Help the one that has the heaviest burden to bear, the hardest problem to solve, hardest question to answer. Help the one to realize the victory's already been won. We don't have to win the victory. All we've got to do is just struggle up there to get that trophy. A lot of people between us and the trophy. That's all, but the trophy's already up there. Victory's won. It's done. Thank God. Help us just to face it. I pray for that one this morning. Doesn't know how to face tomorrow. Well, just help that one to face tomorrow. The one that doesn't know how to bear the burden, help that one just to bear the burden. Just keep on going. Struggle's ours. Victory's won. Our heads are bowed.